Digital paradise was located in the middle of the block. Neon tubes glowed in the windows, announcing the presence of internet, games, sandwiches, beer, and fun. Anya purchased time on a card, then retreated to the back of the large room where she could keep an eye on the door. She took a seat in the ergonomic chair, flexed her fingers, and started typing. All around her, players sat at banks of computers, playing video games around the world. Most of them were guys in their teens and early 20s, but there were a few women and older people as well. Negotiating the Digital Paradise interface, Anya opened her email in one window and let it start cycling through, thinking there was a chance Mario had sent her a message more recent than his last call. In a separate window, she accessed her email at Chasing History's Monsters, thinking that if he had tried contacting her through her answering service there, he might also have used the show's email address. Normally, she didn't get the mail from the television show. She'd discovered early on that the average email was as bad as the earlier call she'd received. A quick check through alt.archaeology and alt.archaeology.esoterica sites showed a few promising developments on stories she was planning to do, but nothing that pertained to Mario Fellini. Remembering the phone number on Irena Skuyan's caller ID, she Googled a page that dealt with international phone numbers and searched for the 371 listing. She learned that 371 belonged to Latvia, one of the Eastern European Baltic countries. A quick cursory search on Latvia revealed a history replete with Vikings, amber, German crusaders, and world trade. The Hanseatic League, the first trade union made up of merchantmen instead of nobility, included Latvia. It was all interesting, and Anya was particularly fascinated by the formation of the Hanseatic League in the 14th century, which had opened the floodgates of international commerce to the region. Before that, royalty had exclusively controlled those shipments, only allowing what they saw fit to be bought or sold. Vikings had taken ships with ease. By banding together, the merchants spread their shipments over more than one vessel and provided adequate protection by hiring mercenaries. Anya decided that her first step should be to figure out what Mario was doing in Latvia. She turned to his personal homepage, which she found easily enough after a quick search. She stared at Mario's picture. If it was recent, he hadn't changed much. He was a handsome man, lean and fit. His coloration was Mediterranean, and his hair was black and crept down past his neckline. He even still had the scar on his eyebrow that he had acquired when they had worked together on the dig at Hadrian's Wall. Anya smiled at that, remembering how they'd been involved in a bar fight in Halt Whistle. A local had been selling genuine Roman artifacts he'd claimed to have found at Hadrian's Wall. Mario, with maybe a beer or two too many, had taken umbrage with the man and challenged the authenticity of the artifacts. The man had come up swinging. Mario wasn't trained in self-defense, though, and had gotten the worst of it. Anya had stepped in and made short work of the guy and two of his friends with her martial arts skills. Anya read through information, learning that Mario had left a position in Vatican City 14 months earlier. She wasn't even aware that he'd held such a prestigious job, and it made her sad to think that she had completely lost touch with someone she considered a friend. The page didn't say why Mario had left Vatican City, but Anya suspected it was because he hadn't been given free rein to choose his own subjects to research. Mario had always been independent. He was currently employed as a curator at a small museum in Riga, Latvia. Anya couldn't read the Latvian language, which was also called Lettish. The museum at which he worked was called Peering Through Time and funded by an independent source. Still, despite being interesting, nothing in Mario's current bio explained what he was doing in New York, what he'd sent to her, or why someone would be chasing after it. Nor was there any mention of Irena Skuyan's. Anya was frustrated. Deciding to let that line of inquiry rest for a moment, she turned her attention to the two names she'd gotten from the desk clerk at the Century Continental Hotel. She had slightly more luck finding out who Dieter Humbrecht and Klaus Kaufmann were, but her search led to even more questions and confusion. Her research had turned up three articles with Humbrecht's name in them, and two of them mentioned Kaufmann. The first was a news article out of South Africa a few years earlier that listed the men as mercenaries. The second was on the website of a man whose personal museum collection had been stolen. The third mentioned Humbrecht's arrest for an attempted break-in at an archive in Vatican City. He'd received jail time for his efforts. The break-in attempt had occurred shortly before Mario left the Vatican. The timing made Anya suspicious. She'd always liked Mario and would never have thought badly of him, but Mario always did like going after the story. His curiosity drove him, along with a desire to become famous for a find that would be recognized throughout the world. She couldn't be sure just what lengths he would go to in order to achieve that goal. Anya looked up just as Nikolai entered the cafe, his hands noticeably free of the package. Worse still, he hadn't come alone. He was flanked by Dieter Humbrecht and one of the other men. Looking despondent and afraid, Nikolai glanced around the cyber cafe, then locked eyes with Anya. The two men spotted her too, and Humbrecht shoved Nikolai forward, causing him to stumble. A few of the gamers noticed the action and swapped anxious looks. One of them reached for a cell phone. Anya had to act fast. She pushed her things into the backpack and zipped it closed. Then she stood and approached the men. Up close, Anya had to admit that Dieter was as handsome as Sandy had said. Unfortunately, according to the newspaper reports out of South Africa, he was also a killer.
Ah, Miss Creed. We meet at last.
I have to admit that this wasn't something I was looking forward to, Dieter.
You know who I am.
Finding out wasn't hard.
I suppose Fellini told you, but really, that doesn't matter at this point. Our business here is about finished.
You've got that right.
Anya reached for the sword, feeling it grow more solid against her palm. She noticed Nikolai's hands trembling, and a pinched expression showed that he was about to be sick.
I'm sorry, Anya. They followed me from the police station. I didn't know.
It's okay, Nikolai.
They want the package, but they wanted you, too.
Why?
Because there are many things my employer would like to know.
What things?
This matter is a bit of a puzzle, Miss Creed. My employer feels that your expertise could be useful.
Hasn't Mario told you what you need to know?
Mario was reluctant to tell us much of anything.
Dieter slid a pistol an inch from its shoulder holster, showing her just enough to let her know he had it.
We need to be going. My men are picking up the package Mario sent you.
You told them where the package was?
Sort of.
If you've lied to me.
Humbrecht grabbed Nikolai by the scruff of the neck, and Anya took advantage of the distraction to pull the sword towards her, holding it beside her leg. It was 3 feet of razor-sharp double-bladed steel. It gleamed as it splintered the light.
Get down, Nikolai!
Nikolai hit the deck just as Dieter pulled the pistol from inside his coat and brought it around toward Anya. Sidestepping and dropping her right foot behind her left, Anya swung the sword in a blinding arc. The sword connected with the pistol and sent the weapon flying from Dieter's hand. Shock spread across the man's face, but he was able to respond, kicking at Anya's head before she could bring the sword back. Dropping back a step, Anya let her opponent's kick sail past her head. She launched a spinning back fist at Dieter's own head in retaliation. He dropped and slid backward. Holding his hands out and twisting them, he freed two Asp tactical batons and caught them. He triggered them, and they elongated to their full length. Armed with nearly 2 feet of reinforced steel, he stepped to the attack.
Well, I don't know how you managed that trick. Maybe I'll beat it out of you later.
He swung the batons rapidly, aiming for her head, then her knees, then her head again, in a convoluted figure-eight pattern. Anya was certain if any of the blows had landed, they would have crushed bone like chalk. Anya parried another swinging attack by Dieter, giving him a little more ground. The mercenary was incredible with the batons. Anya went on the offensive with her sword, but Humbrecht was able to block her blow with his crossed batons. He held the sword only inches from the crown of his head. His arms shook with the strain.
Irvin, shooter!
The other attacker leveled his drawn pistol directly towards her head. Twisting and throwing herself back, Anya barely avoided the bullet, which cut through her coat over her midsection. She dropped and rolled toward Irwin, coming up on her left hand as she drove both of her feet up. Her left foot knocked the pistol from Irwin's hand, and her right foot caught him under the chin. He crashed into a computer terminal and sank down, out cold. By that time, Dieter was nearly on top of her. A baton streaked for her head, but she was able to block it with the sword. She rolled to the side and leaped to her feet. Dieter didn't offer any more taunts. His face was cold and deadly. She could see he intended to kill her as fast as he could. Anya parried another swing and blocked, then thrust the sword at Dieter's face. As expected, Dieter dodged back, pushing the weapon away with his left-hand baton. Reaching forward, Anya plucked the other baton from Dieter's right hand. She backed away with her captured prize.
You're good, Dieter. But it's not good enough.
Dieter launched himself at her, swinging his remaining baton. Anya countered with the sword, then swung her baton into Dieter's forehead. Anya glanced around. Everyone had run out of the cafe. She willed the sword to disappear, then reached down for Nikolai. He was shaking so much he could barely stand.
That was incredible! Just like Xena!
I'm not Xena. Are you all right?
You have a sword! I didn't know you had a sword! What did you do with it?
There was no sword.
Oh, I saw a sword!
Do you see a sword now?
No. Where did it go?
Nikolai, focus. They came after the package. I need it now. Where is it?
The package...
That's right. What did you do with it?
I work in a shipping business. I shipped it.
Shipped it where?
To a mail place over on Flatbush Avenue.
I'm going to get it. You need to get somewhere safe.
Oh, you can't get it.
Why?
The guy who works there, Tom, he's only going to give it to me.
You do realize that they could shoot Tom if he doesn't give it to them, don't you? He might change his mind about protecting your package. Unless you're really good friends.
Well, we are part of the same starbase.
I'm sure that means a lot.
Anya pushed Nikolai to get him moving at a running pace. They needed to get a cab.